We have started a series called Who Am I, Who Are You, and Who Cares? And we are focusing today on a little more on the who am I. We want you to understand who you are in Christ. You see, we are in a little bit of a time frame where many people get depressed, discouraged, some lose all hope. And we see and understand that many people lose hope because they don't know who they are, what their purpose is, or why they're here. They begin to feel hopeless. They feel like nobody cares about them, nobody notices them, and maybe they shouldn't even be here. I want to tell you, those are thoughts from the enemy. Those are lies, because when I read Scripture, it says who you are, and you are a creation of the King of Kings. You are made in His image, and you matter. And today specifically, I want to look at this point and tell you that He knows your name. You see, God knows your name. God knows who you are. He knows a lot about you, but He also knows your name and He speaks your name. Your name matters. On the screen here, I got the title on, He Knows My Name, and you have to have been around with kids for a little while, but back in, I think it was about 2006, there was a movie called Cars. And this part of the movie, there's a guy named Lightning McQueen. He's the fancy hot rod race car. And after his big race, he has to go to his sponsor's tent to do a little speech. And his sponsors are called Rusty's. And he doesn't like rusty cars, but of course, Rusty's is bumper ointment and rusty cars go there. So he goes into the tent and everybody's like, oh, Mr. McQueen, oh, they're so happy to see him. And this guy here sees him and goes, oh, Mr. McQueen, you're my hero. And he's just so excited to meet him. And Lightning McQueen goes, Fred, thank you, Fred. And Fred goes, oh, he knows my name. He knows my name. And he drops his bumper. And as you can see, his name is on his license plate, Fred. So Mr. McQueen didn't actually know Fred, but Fred was so excited that he thought somebody famous knew his name. I've got some great news for you. Somebody more than famous knows your name. He knows your name, and He knows you who are named. You see, it's not just that He memorized your name, but He actually knows you behind the name. And church, your name matters. I remember a number of years ago. Now, I'll give you a little background. I grew up on a farm, and we ended up having a gospel band. We did a lot of meetings. They were kind of on reserves and different places, but none of them were like banquets or like special events. And later, when my wife and I were married here, we went to this really big special event. One of my first ones, and I didn't really know how they all do it, but, you know, you got to go to the table first and, you know, different stuff. Well, I start visiting someone. My wife gets us all checked in, and then we're moving around, and there's tables everywhere. People are coming up to me, and they're, oh, hi, Downey, how are you doing? And this happened a few times, and I'm like, I looked over at my wife, and said, I don't think I've met them. How do these people know us? And she kind of laughs, and she goes like this on my chest. I signed you in. I put a sticker on you. It has your name. It's like, oh, me and Fred. Isn't it something that something happens to us when people know our name? When people use our name, we feel known. We feel like we matter and somehow they know me. You see, you are known and God knows your name. Listen to Proverbs 22 and verse 1. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. You see, a good name matters. A good name speaks to who you are, what you're about, and I have good news. If you don't like your name, you can make your name great. Like, I have messed up my name. Well, fix it. You know, I've met other people who are named Danny. There's other people named Danny Brown. Like, if you Google Danny Brown, there's some famous guy named Danny Brown. It isn't me. And I'm like, I hope these guys don't wreck my name. You know, if you've ever been in a situation where you, maybe in school you were bullied by a guy named, I got to be careful here, Bubba. I'm going to make sure I don't get your name. You know, Bubba. Whenever you hear the name Bubba for the rest of your life, you're like, oh, you get a feeling for that name. He wrecked your name. Well, God knows your name. Your name is never wrecked when he's involved. And I got some great news for you today. God speaks your name, and he speaks it regularly. You see, in Scripture, names had meaning in the Bible. Some of the names were actually prophetic. They spoke to future events. Others spoke to the character of the person or what they were going to accomplish. There's an interesting name in Genesis chapter 5, and it's the name Methuselah. What a name, eh? Methuselah. I guess it's better than Mephibosheth. But Methuselah was an interesting name, and I'll just read to you from Genesis 5:21 where this happened. It says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Let me stop there for a minute. Back in the day, before the flood, people lived a really long time. And Enoch actually is one of the younger ones, but they lived a really long time. It says he had other sons and daughters. Verse 23, Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. So Enoch didn't actually die. God just took him home. But he was in close fellowship. And Enoch was a prophet. In the book of Jude, it talks about how he prophesied about something. And he walked close fellowship with God. So he obviously spoke for God. Now he had his son, it says, who was named Methuselah. And then verse 25. Methuselah was 187 years old. He became the father of Lamech. After the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Methuselah lived 969 years. That's old. Methuselah was the oldest person in the Bible. The oldest living person ever recorded is Methuselah, 969 years of age. Interestingly, his name was prophetic. You see, Enoch, who talked with God, named his son Methuselah, and his name meant his death shall send, or maybe easier for us, it will come when he's dead, or it will come when he dies. Anybody want to guess what came when Methuselah died? The flood. The flood that would bring judgment to the whole world came when Methuselah died, but it was prophesied when he was born through his name. And isn't it amazing that the grace and mercy of God makes him the oldest person ever recorded? Because God isn't willing that anyone should perish. He kept holding on. He kept believing they're going to listen to Noah. They're going to repent. They're going to listen and hear Noah's words of it's coming, and they're going to repent. They're going to hear that name Methuselah, and they're going to think about it. Oh, something's coming. And Moses is, but it didn't happen. Methuselah's name was prophetic. Now, I don't know about your name if it's prophetic, but do you know the meaning of your name? Have you looked it up? You haven't looked up the meaning? You got to look it up. Names, if you research them a little farther, you'll see the root of where they come from. Every name has a meaning. Now, understand in today's culture, sometimes parents, they're just trying to find a name that nobody has ever used, and so they make up one. But that name will have meaning if God is involved, and if God begins to use that person, suddenly that name will mean something. Okay, so whatever your name is, God knew you'd be named that, and your name does mean something. Did you know that God actually changed some people's names to fit their destiny or to fit who they were? Now, before I go into this, I got to say this. If you're here this morning and you don't like your name, you're like, oh, I hate my name. Did you know that that immediately speaks to the fact that you're struggling with your identity and who you are? And in the back of your mind, you may be believing a lie of the enemy that if I change my name, I'll be somebody else. But you won't. So you're like, yeah, but, you know, my name's Penelope. Penelope or Pinocchio, that's your name. And your name should not make you feel like, oh, I hate my name. When people hate their name, there's an identity thing going on. Sometimes they've been bullied for their name. Sometimes people have used their names in anger or in abusive situations, and now when they hear their name, they no longer like it. But it's an identity crisis that needs to be fixed. Just changing your name doesn't fix it. All right, changing people's names to fit their destiny. We know of Abram, who had his name changed to Abraham, and it meant something. Genesis 17, verse 4, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them." Abram means exalted father. That's a pretty good name, pretty good meaning. Abraham means father of a multitude. Interestingly, God gives him this word, tells him, "I'm changing your name to be a father of a multitude," when he's 99 years old. And he has only one child who is not birthed from his wife, but from his wife's servant. And God is talking to him, "I'm changing your name today. You will be a multitude that will come out of you." You see, God knows what he's doing with names. And the name of Abraham would speak prophetically every time it was used. Think about it for a minute. Every time someone would see Abraham, they would be declaring over him when they used his name, "You are the father of a multitude. Father of a multitude, it's time to have supper. Father of a multitude, what do you want us to do with this grain? Father of a multitude, what should the servants be doing with the donkeys?" Do you see? Every time his name was spoken, it would speak into the atmosphere. It would speak into his mind and his heart. And somewhere along the way, he began to believe it. Because you see, whatever God is wanting to do through you and with you, you need to believe it. So let me give you a challenge, because not very many of you knew the meaning of your name. Research the meaning of your name this week, okay? Check it out. And if it's like really bad, just be like, "That's the wrong site." Go to a different one, okay? And just, there are good sites. And if you're like, "I don't know," then just go to prayer about it. "God, what does my name mean to you?" Okay? Do that. I guarantee you, he'll speak to you what your name means to him. If somebody's put an ugly meaning on your name, guarantee God has an amazing meaning for it. Okay, so I want to encourage you in that. One of my daughters, her name means strength of God or heroine of God. That's a pretty awesome meaning to a name. One of my other daughters, her name means the father's joy or the father rejoices. That's a pretty awesome name. You see, names have meaning and they speak continually over you something that God wants. So that's my challenge to you. Figure out the meaning of your name. All right. There's power in hearing your name being called over and over, positive or negative. I want to encourage all of you here the importance of people's names around you and why you should use them and use them in a right way. You see, I've read and heard stories of abusive situations where parents refuse to even speak their child's name because they're angry and, well, let's be honest, abuse situations, there is an evil spirit involved. And now suddenly a name is not even used because that's their identity. I read a horrible book years ago, don't read it, but it was about an abuse situation and the mother no longer called the son by a name, he was just called the boy. And he was left in the garage and treated horribly. But his identity was taken and he was no longer given a name. The boy, the kid, just like the dog. Parents, anybody who deals with kids, speak their name in love no matter what the situation. Their name matters. It's who they are. Don't use their name in anger. Don't just use their name only when they're in trouble. Speak it over them so that they know and understand their name means something. It's who they are. It's their identity. Don't crush their identity with their name. Don't make fun of their name. Don't make some rhyme that's a joke about their name. Ever. Use their name understanding God speaks their name. God knows their name. and I'm going to speak it well. You see, you and I, especially as adults and people in leadership, we have the ability to build people up even the way we say their name. How do you say your child's name for parents? I remember years ago it was a thing when your child's in trouble, you say their full name. But how about using their name with, you are blessed. God has great things for you, Daniel, Danny, whatever name, because he loves you, he cares about you. You see, you have a name and it matters. You're not just a person in the group. You're not just someone who doesn't matter. Listen to John 1, verse 41. Jesus changes Peter's name, or Simon's name before it was changed. John 1, 41. It says, at once he found his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas. This is the same as Peter and means a rock. Another version says he looked intently at Peter. And Holy Spirit tells him, I know what your name is, but guess what? You're not just going to be Simon, son of somebody. You're going to be Simon the Rock. Simon the Rock. Jesus spoke and said, you are not just somebody's kid. You're not just somebody's nephew, somebody's relative. You're not just a junior. You are you, and you're special. And God has a plan for you. You see, each of us knows and understands that we must allow our name to be our name and embrace it and walk in it, thankful and fulfilled. You see, who you are is how God created you, and your name is a huge part of your identity. If you think, I don't like my name, or I don't like the way my knees are shaped, or I don't like my nose, or you've got identity issues. That's how you were created. My ears are too big, and this microphone sticks them out more. I don't care. That's how he created me. The better to hear you with, my dear. But anyways, however God has created you, embrace it. It's you. We live in a world where people are not okay with anything about them because there is a struggle with who they are. And they just think, if I could change this one thing, I'd be somebody else. I have great news for you. God wants you blessed with who he created you to be. And what you're feeling and thinking in your mind and thoughts can be changed and transformed. You can wake up feeling good about who you are. No matter how short, no matter how tall, no matter how thin, no matter how wide, he's made you, and you can be blessed. All the world of social media and movies, they want to impress on your mind that you've got to be something different and somebody else. And how fast that little two-year-old, whoa, I'm me, can change to, I don't like me. I remember one of our girls, when they were quite young, I try not to say names when I tell these stories, and there's a full-length mirror in our room, and she's in front of that full-length mirror, it's like, talking to herself, and just a little, oh, yes, you're so cute, and you know, you're the most beautiful girl in the world, and goes out of there just feeling like the most beautiful girl in the world, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy, and then when they become teenagers, it's like, what? Go back to that four-year-old, three-year-old mirror. He made you awesome. And to him, and to your parents, and to those that matter, you are the most beautiful person in the world. You are. Your name matters, and how he created you matters. You see, God knows our names, and he actually calls us by our names. Let me give you a couple scriptures. You see, when someone knows our name, it causes us to obviously feel known and respected. Our name is a core part of our identity. Isaiah 43:1. But now the Lord who created you, Israel, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Wow. I've called you by name. You are mine. Anyone with kids here today, parents, do you remember your kids' names? Most of the time. Sometimes you get them confused, but you remember your kids' names. And when you call their names, you're calling their names because they're yours. They belong to you. Well, our Heavenly Father feels the same way about us. I read a story in a really great book that I was reading just recently, and in the book, he is talking to the Lord because, I can tell you a little bit in the book, is they're talking about praying for every person in the world to be saved, 8 billion people. And he's feeling this vision and asking God, well, can't we just pray for them as groups? Why by name? And he said as he's praying and asking the Lord, he remembers when his daughter, and his daughter's name, because names matter, was Chloe. And his daughter got amnesia. She could not even remember her own name. The doctor said she would never walk again. And he said someone reached out to him from another country and said, we're praying for Chloe by name. And it went where people were all praying all over the world for his daughter, Chloe. And the Lord brought that to his memory and said, you love Chloe. And when people were by name praying for it, it meant something to you. And the Lord said to him, every person in the world is my Chloe. And I love them just as much as you love your Chloe. See, your name matters. Your name is important, and God calls people by name because he loves them. The same parent talks in the book about when he lost his daughter at Disney World. That's a really bad place to lose your daughter. I've lost my daughter at Walmart here in town, but you know, you can find them. It's not too big. But he lost his daughter at Disney World, and he was just panicking, and he was looking to find her in the crowd, and suddenly he saw her. And he shouted at the top of his lungs her name. Lorna! That wasn't her name. And she snapped around and saw him and came running and jumped into his arms and said, Daddy, for a minute I thought I lost you. You see, when the Father calls your name, it makes a difference. If he'd just called, hey, you! Or girl over there! Yeah, not the same thing. You see, he knows you and he calls your name. You know, names matter and names say that we care. There are actually people that name things that really are important to them. Sometimes guys name their truck. Other guys have named their guitars. Why? Because it means something to them. It's their favorite. If we can name an object that means something to us, would we not consider the name of people around us to be far more important? Far greater. You see, God knows our names and he calls us by name and he says we belong to him. Isaiah 49 verse 1 says, listen to me, all of you in far off lands. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by my name. Now here's a thought. God knew your name before your parents gave it to you. This is Isaiah the prophet speaking in this scripture that I just read. Isaiah is from the Hebrew Jewish culture. They named their children 8 days after birth. But God already named him when he was in the womb. Now that'll speak. Did you know that God knew us even before we were created in the womb? Because you see, the real us is a spirit being. We just live in this fleshly body. Even science knows that at conception, when conception happens, there's a flash of light. They don't know what that is. I'll tell you what that is. That is life beginning. That is the spirit, whoever it is that's conceived. And God already has it named. Wow. He loves you, and he knows your name. Can I encourage you, get to know people's names, and then speak their names. It means something. Don't use the excuse, oh, I just can never remember names. But let's not use that as an excuse. Let's learn names and let's say them with feeling. Because names matter. Your name matters. Listen to John 10 in verse 3. Jesus is speaking about the good shepherd and he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus later goes on to say he's the good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, calls us by name. You're not just one of the sheep. You have a name, and it identifies you, and it speaks to who you are. And he calls you by your name. Maybe you're here today, and you've had in your past somebody bully or make fun of your name, and you've got this feeling, I don't really like my name. Maybe in your past someone was abusive and used your name in anger or some other evil way, and you don't like your name anymore. I got good news. God is a redeemer, and if he gave you that name, he can redeem your name once again so that you feel good about it. Because it's not okay that the enemy could use someone to make you dislike your name. That is never okay. And I tell you what, would you really want a bully or someone who's acting evil to change your name? Why would you give them that power or that right? That is the last thing. They've done something. Sometimes bullies are hurt themselves and don't realize what they're doing. Sometimes other people are controlled by evil and don't know what they're doing. Don't give them the right to change your name and destiny. You take it, you own it. And you say, no way, devil. Obviously, God cared about my name, or I wouldn't even be feeling this right now. Take your name and own it. When someone asks what your name is, don't put your head down. When someone asks what your name is, don't say it kind of quiet. When someone asks what your name is, say, my name is Daniel Brown. My name is, don't say that if that's not your name, but you know what I'm saying. Some of these guys are like, I don't think that's going to work. Say your name when you're asked and say it like you're proud of it because God knew what it would be and your parents gave it to you. Now, the cool thing about God is he knows your name, but he also knows everything else about you, and he loves you. In Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. It's David in the psalm. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment, you know where I am. You know what I am going to say before I even say it. You both proceed and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. Wow. He doesn't just know your name. He knows your thoughts. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're thinking, what you're going to say. And he loves you. And he's got his hands open, outstretched, saying, come on, let's do this. Let's go. He's not angry at you or wanting to disown you because you had a bad thought. He's like, hey, you got this. You can work through this. You can receive healing. You can get free. And he says it with your name. If he made you, he knows everything about you. He's got a plan laid out. I would say, listen. Matthew 10:29. What is the price of two sparrows? About one copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. God knows you. He cares about you. You are valued. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, for some people, that's not as difficult as others, but he knows. When he speaks of, he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, when you look at that, he's actually talking about every time a sparrow flits to the ground. He's not talking about when they die. They flit to the ground to get a worm, get a bug. Do you know how many sparrows are in the world? And he knows that. A while back, we were hearing bird sounds in the building in my wife's office. You could hear these birds went, and she's like, I hear that a lot in here. I'm like, well, there's a tree outside your office. There's birds in that tree all the time. And then I was in the office one day and I hear tweet, tweet, tweet right over my head. And I'm like, that is odd. We found out that those sparrows somehow made a hole in the wall and had a nest inside the building. Did you know God knew those sparrows were there? He knew those babies were there. He knew those sparrows were there. And they're just sparrows. There's so many of them and they only live so long. And he knows that. He knows the hairs on your head, and he cares about you. And oh my goodness, he knows your name. 1 Kings 8:39. It says, hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts. Listen to this last line. For you alone know every human heart. That is unbelievable. Beyond imagination. He doesn't just remember 8 billion people's names. He knows every heart. He knows the individual from the inside out. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, nobody knows where I've been or what I've done or what's going on, he does. He sees you, he knows your name, and he says, I see it, I know it, and I don't care, I still love you, and I have a plan for you. Isn't that something? You see, he has a plan. Maybe you woke up this morning and thought, I wish I didn't wake up. I don't even like life right now. I was hoping I wouldn't wake up this morning. Did you know people have thoughts like that? And you know what happened? God was speaking your name. You were wishing you wouldn't wake up, and he's speaking your name and say, it's time to get up. And he woke you up and said, you need to get to church because I want you to know something about how much I love you and how much I care about you and your name. I want to encourage you today, if the enemy has bombarded you to the point where you don't feel like you want to live, that is not truth. That is a feeling that comes from thoughts and lies that you begin to believe. You have to change what you believe. And you have to change what you believe about you. The enemy's lied and said you're useless and no good. He's a liar. You are important and you matter to God. And the things that God wants you to accomplish are beyond your imagination, or the enemy wouldn't fight you this hard. Bottom line, I sometimes like, Lord, allow us to see and feel the love you have for that person. Let us understand the potential. What do you have? Do you know, years ago, I used to do youth, and I prayed and asked God, let me see their potential, not their problem, not what they're doing at the moment. Do you know that every person has unbelievable potential? Because that's how God created them. But many won't fulfill that potential if somebody doesn't come along and give them a hand. If somebody doesn't come along and give them a word, you have amazing potential. And God knows your heart. He knows the real you, and he loves you. We're going to finish off with names. Did you know that if you're saved, your names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life? Your name matters that much. Your name is not a sticker or a number. Your name matters, and it's written in heaven. I mean, God could have just said, well, in heaven, everybody has a number. No, he doesn't, because your name matters. Your name is part of your identity. In concentration camps, they gave everybody a number. In places where people are tortured, they give numbers. In heaven, you have a name. Isn't that cool? You have a name, not a number. And in heaven, it's written in God's Lamb's Book of Life if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Isn't that cool? There's a book. And your name's been written in it. He cares that much about you. Luke 10 and 19 says this, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that you the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's worth rejoicing about. My name is written in the book. Woo! Yeah! It's in heaven. That means I don't spend eternity in hell. I get to go to an awesome place with no tears, no pain, with Jesus. Woo! That's way more worth rejoicing than the demon just had to leave that guy. Oh, that's okay. Not even close to my name. It's written in heaven. Your name. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your name is written in heaven. Revelation 3:5, all who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Wow. Think of that. Jesus announces before the angels and the Father your name and says you're his. I like to picture things when I read in Scripture, and picture the angels. The Father on his throne, and Jesus comes and says, yep, she's mine. Can you imagine? He's saying that about your name. And just like Fred, you should be happy about that. Just like Fred, you should be like, he knows my name. Isn't that amazing that he knows you? I got to finish this up. I got to wrap up on time. You see, our names are written in the book of life. Well, how do we get our names in the book of life? Well, if you don't know that yet, I'm glad you asked because I love telling people how. You see, when we speak of names, there's only one name in the world that can allow you to be saved and have your name in the book of life. Acts 4 and verse 10, after Peter and John have healed a lame man from birth and gotten in trouble for it, they then declare to the religious leaders this statement in verse 10. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in Scripture where it says, the stone the builders rejected is now become the cornerstone. You see, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. That name, Gabriel the angel spoke to Joseph and said, your wife, Mary, your fiancé is with child, and you will name him Jesus because he will save the world. His name means Savior. That name is the one name that allows us to have salvation. That name, the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've not yet accepted him as your Savior. Maybe you've not yet prayed and asked him to forgive you and make your life new. It is simple and easy. In Romans 10 and verse 9, it says, if you speak it with your mouth and believe in your heart that God died for you and was risen to life, you will be saved. So we're going to take a moment right now just to use words for what maybe you're feeling in your heart. And we're going to pray. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you now that I am yours. And you call me by name. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning.